Amen. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
For those of you that don't know, my name is Tim. I'm the youth pastor here at the church, and the youth are going to be okay. We've got Joe Litchfield back there preaching to our high school today. He's got an incredible message for them. All of your high school students will be coming home with something, so you should ask them. I'm setting you up, parents. Ask them what the thing they got was and why they got it. That'll encourage you. Hey, I just want to share a quick testimony real quick from Serve Day. We had our big clothing giveaway that happened here at the church. And if my memory serves me correctly, last year we had 170 people come to the clothing giveaway. This year we had 405 people, which was insane. And if you'd have walked in there and saw the youth gym, the tables, the amount of clothes that you guys donated was just absolutely, there were tables with clothes stacked taller than me. And I was just like, I don't know how do you find something in that? I don't know. There was just so much. But, you know, the women know how to do that. So I walked in and got anxiety immediately. I was just like, this is overwhelming. Fun story, this is just for your benefit, not mine. The first big fight my wife and I ever got into was over shopping. She was trying to get clothes for me. She's right back there with my baby. You can ask her about it. She told me, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I picked a shirt out and I was like, I really like this shirt. And she was like, no. And I was like, why? And she was like, because you're going to look like a 13-year-old. That was the day I quit buying my own clothes. Was I bitter? Yes, for many years, but it's all good. Anyway, so that was really cool. And then at the clothing drive, they got the opportunity to pray for multiple people. And one of the ladies that they prayed for, she had an issue with her leg. And one of our volunteers prayed over her, and God instantly healed that right there, which is awesome. But our volunteer didn't stop there. She was like, hey, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And this person was like, yes. And so somebody got saved at our clothing drive, which I just think is amazing. So thank you to everyone who volunteered and participated in Serve Day. It's making a difference. And let's remember to be a church that serves our neighbors more than one day a year. All right? That's what we got. All right. If you've got your Bibles, you can open it up to the book of 1 Samuel. We're in a series on David, the life of David, and today... Today we're going to be talking about David's courage. David's courage. Now, I want to start out by just saying something here. David's courage, I need you to grab this idea because we're going to read some stuff about David, and you might be tempted to think to yourself something like this. I'm not like that. I don't have that kind of courage. Like I get terrified just thinking about asking my waitress if she wants me to pray for her. You know, like I'm just not going to stand in front of Goliath. That's not my thing. And I have good news for all of you. If you feel that way and you feel like courage and standing up for God is something you struggle with, I got great news for you. I really don't believe David was born that way. There was something about David's life that formed him into the kind of person that could have courage in crazy circumstances. And so we're going to look at this today, and we're going to go, how can we also, like David, become people of courage in the midst of what can be craziness in life? Yeah? So we're going to start by first looking at probably the most famous of stories from David's life. It's in 1 Samuel 17, and it's when David fights Goliath. Now, I need you to understand something, though. That at this point in the story, Saul has been king, and Saul also, like David will become, Saul was really awesome up front, like amazing, full of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that Samuel sent him, and Samuel said, hey, as you're going, you're going to come into these prophets, and when you get there, you're going to start to prophesy because the Spirit of God's going to come on you, and God is going to change you. You're going to be changed. And so Saul is changed, and then we see Saul go, and he actually goes and starts rescuing Israel from their oppressors. He goes and wins many battles. Like, Saul's killing it, doing a great job. But then Saul starts to rebel against the Lord a little bit. Saul starts to get a little too prideful in his own self. And so ultimately God comes to Saul and says, I'm taking the kingship from you and I'm going to give it to someone else, right? But Saul is not a stranger to battles. Saul is not a stranger to even big battles. Saul had an army who had battled with him multiple times and saw God bring victory multiple times. This was not a strange thing. In fact, against the Philistines, the exact army we find facing Saul and his army in 1 Samuel 17. But something is different this time. Because when Saul would go and face these armies originally, he went in the Spirit of God and in the power of God and just victory everywhere. But today, he's terrified. He sees that big giant and he is full of fear. And all of Israel with him. And you just grab this for a second. That entire army who had already participated in multiple battles and multiple victories and had seen the goodness of God show up in their lives and deliver them in powerful ways multiple times, they now find themselves in front of this army and they're completely stricken with fear. Nobody wants to do anything. And then here comes little old David, delivering some bread and cheese, right? And he goes up and he hears Goliath. He just so happens to get there. Isn't that the way it works? He just so happens to get there as Goliath is coming out. They've been there for 40 days. Goliath comes out and he's giving his usual taunts, disgracing the God of Israel and all that kind of stuff. And David's just like, who is this bum? Like, it's kind of a wild, I mean, all of Israel is just shaking, like, terrified. And David's like, who's this bum? Who is this guy? Why is everybody acting like this? There's something going on here, right? In 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 32, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Wow, that dude's courageous, man. Like, David. And Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. And David said to Saul, hey, your servant, I've been keeping my father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried a sheep off from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. And you're like, David's really full of himself, isn't he? He's like, look at me, I'm the man. I've killed lions and bears, and this Philistine giant's going to be just like one of them. And you're like, man, he's really, you know, he's got the ego thing going on. Nope, verse 37. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. See, David had already been in some battles. Like Pastor Randy said last week in the private, nobody saw those. But Lord, the Lord had trained him. Yeah? And so he says, hey, God's going to take care of me. And he goes out and he kills Goliath. And he takes Goliath's own sword and he chops his head off. That's in your Bible. You got to read it. So that's a pretty wild story. Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30? In 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is the point in David's life where Saul is trying to kill him. And so he's been running from Saul. This happens for some time. And David is actually, it's really weird, he's gone to this king. I believe you would pronounce his name Achish. I don't know. It's an old name in the Bible. But we'll go Achish. And Achish was a Philistine king from the city of Gath. Goliath was from Gath. Yeah, you with me? All right. And so he goes to Achish, and he actually is doing some covert, like, double agent stuff. He's acting like he's serving this Philistine king, the same Philistine king that he actually defeated when he killed Goliath. Now he's serving him. Yeah? So really crazy story. You got to read your Bible. David, King Achish, the Philistines are getting ready to go wage war against the Israelites again, and David's going to go with them. And this whole thing happens. The other Philistine kings, because I believe there were five of them, they're like, you're not taking this guy. This guy's the guy that killed Goliath. What are you bringing him on our side for? He's totally going to kill us when we're like not looking. And so Achish goes back to David and he says, hey, you can't go, man, because none of the other Philistine lords want you to go. And so David and his men return back to this place called Ziklag, which was a region that this Philistine king gave to David. Isn't that kind of, it's just weird. And so in 1 Samuel 30, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and the Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. And when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Okay, pause. David's got 600 men with him. David and these 600 men, because the Lord was with David, David and these 600 men had been raiding Philistine territories while living under the grace and covering of one of the Philistine kings. It's a wild story. You should go read it. David's 600 men have been seeing God work powerfully in David's life, and yet when they come home to their place and they find that their land has been destroyed and their families have been taken, they're devastated, obviously. All of us would be destroyed. They weep until they have no strength left to even weep. That's pretty low. These 600 men, who were valiant warriors, by the way, you can read about that in your Bible, are broken. And they're so desperate and so broken that now they're saying, you know what the right thing to do in this moment is? Kill David. He's clearly the problem, right? And then you get to this little line here, right at the end of verse 6. It says, but David found strength in the Lord his God. I want to point something out to you. Sometimes we can get these ideas in our minds that because David was a courageous man, that at every moment in his life, he looked like a courageous man. David in this moment, along with his 600 men, is broken. He is broken. I wonder if any of you here today feel that way, where life has just beat you up, where you've just encountered hard things. And maybe you feel like there's no rest coming. Maybe you've started to think crazy things like, we should stone Pastor Randy. I don't know. There you go. Sorry. I didn't want it to get too heavy, you know? You know, David killed Goliath, and the trajectory of his life, right? He's been anointed king by Samuel, but Saul is still king. David has this whole thing where he won't touch the Lord's anointed, so even though there were multiple opportunities that David has to kill Saul, he refuses to do so, which, by the way, takes a lot of courage to just trust God to do what God said he would do and not take it into your own hands, right? David kills Goliath. The people start praising him. Saul becomes jealous and fearful of David. So Saul tries to kill David. David flees for his life. I need you to grab a hold of this. David, who killed Goliath, who when all of Israel was shaking in their boots, he stepped up and said, I'll go do this. This is not hard. He's now in fear of his own life. And so David starts to flee from Saul. And you know where David ends up? David ends up being captured by King Achish in Gath, where Goliath was from. He's got Goliath's sword in his possession. Like, they all know who he is, and he gets captured by them. And the Bible actually says that in this moment, David is so fearful and afraid that the best thing he can think of to do is act like a crazy person. Just for fun, it's the only time in the Bible the word insane is used. And it's with this. And David just, or at least in the Old Testament, let me clarify that, in the Old Testament. And so David acts like a crazy man in front of King Achish and is literally like just scratching at the walls and like letting drool just come down his face. And this Philistine king who witnessed David kill Goliath goes, this dude's out of his mind. Just let him go. Let him go. But David was like, do you get it? David was in fear. Like, he was terrified. The same people he conquered, he's now in fear of. Right? You guys with me? What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that courage can wane in your life. Sometimes we fight a battle and we feel like we have a victory, and then we get going a little bit longer down the road of life and we feel like we're at the exact same battle again. Anybody who ever has dealt with addiction understands what this feels like. Right? You try so hard to work on reconciliation and you just feel like you keep hitting the same wall. It feels like, oh man, we just had a victory, only to find yourself in a place of fear again, feeling like the enemy's just gonna overtake you yet again. Right? But David somehow keeps pressing forward. How does this happen? David, I think, knew a secret that I think Saul once knew and forgot. And that secret is this, that courage does not come from within you. It comes from knowing who's with you, right? It's not from in here, because today I might feel courageous and tomorrow I might not, you know? But if somebody else is with me, who's bigger, you know, stronger, more powerful than me, and they're always there, then maybe I can have some courage. In the Psalms, David wrote, I forget exactly how many, I think it's something like 60 or 70 of the Psalms. But in the Psalms, there are a little over a dozen Psalms that are attributed to David from specific points in his life that we actually read about in 1 and 2 Samuel. And they're all bad moments, like literally all of them. What are these moments? Moments like when Saul sent men to David's house to kill him, or when Doeg the Edomite or the Ziphites reported David's hiding location to Saul so that he could go and kill him, or when David had been captured in the Philistine city of Gath while fleeing from Saul, or when David was hiding in caves from Saul, or wandering through the desert of Judah fleeing from Saul, or moments where his own son wants to usurp him and take the throne from him. David constructs these psalms, and I want to read just a highlight from a couple of them, and I want to see if you can grab a hold of what David teaches us. The first is Psalms 3. This psalm is when David is fleeing from his own son who's attempting to usurp the throne from him. David in verse 3 and 6 of Psalms 3 says this, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side." Whoo, that's pretty good. Psalm 34, this is when David's writing Psalm 34 after he was released from being a prisoner in Gath. This is right after he acted like a crazy person. In Psalms 34, verses 7, 17, and 18, it says this, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." You want to know what David felt like when he was captured in Gath? Crushed in spirit, brokenhearted, because he had a promise from God that God was going to establish the kingdom through him. And yet now he's trying to be killed by everyone, including the current king of Israel and everyone else in the whole world around him. Everybody's trying to kill him. And yet David says, hey, I'm going to be good because the angel of the Lord encamps around me. In Psalms 54, this is right after the Ziphites had reported to Saul where David was hiding. They were people that obviously didn't like David very much. In Psalms 54, verse 4, David says, "Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me." In Psalms 56, this is from when David acted insane. So this is while he's in prison, right? In Psalms 56, 3 and 4, he says this, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Wow, that's great, man. In Psalms 57, this is from when David is hiding in a cave, fleeing for his life from Saul. Psalms 57, verses 1 and 3, he says, "Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." Look at this. I love this. "He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness." Psalms 59 is from when Saul sent men to David's house to kill him. In Psalms 59, 17, David says, "You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely." So there's a pattern that develops in David's life. And that pattern looks like this. He always finds a way to look to God. Always. I mean, David's life is not glamorous. Like, we got to get beyond that. David's life, for like a good Saul, I think Pastor Randy said it last week, it's like 12 years or something, this whole escapade's going on. And most of that, David's fleeing for his life. Like, just track with that. Like, David is constantly being hunted. Could you imagine just going home tonight going, literally everyone in the world's trying to kill me tonight. And then tomorrow night you go home and you think the exact same, everyone in the world's trying to kill me tonight. Like this is David's reality. And yet in these moments, we see David in his reflections in the Psalms that he's writing, he's constantly saying, "Hey, I look to the Lord. He's the one that sustains me. Doesn't matter if there's an army of 10,000 coming against me." So that courage didn't come from within David. It came from who was with David. Can I share something with you? Psalms 86, verse 11. How did David become this type of person who just could always look to God and have courage to face Goliath, have courage that while he's in prison in the enemy home of Goliath, like how did he keep coming back to this place where he goes, "God's got me, God's got me, God's got me." Psalms 86, 11. "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name." Can we just camp out here for a second? "Teach me your way, Lord." Now, I need to clarify something here. You might have heard that little phrase, "Teach me your way, Lord," and you might have thought to yourself, "God, teach me the right way to live." That is not what David's praying. What David is praying is, "Lord, teach me your ways. Who are you, God? How do you respond to people who are hurting?" You know? It'd be like me going to Sharon and be like, "Sharon, can you tell me how David really is? Like, how is David when he's not here?" You know? That's what David's saying. "Lord, teach me your way." How do I know that? Because he says, "Because I want to rely on your faithfulness." He doesn't say, "Teach me your way so that I can walk a straight path." He says, "I want to know that I can rely on you, God." Hey, I got bad news for you, church. There's really only one way to find out that God's faithful. And it's to go through trouble. It's the only way. You'll never know unless you go through trouble. What did Jesus say? He said, "Hey, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I've overcome it." David has this confidence, church, that if he can know the way of God, not how to live right, but who his God is, if If he can know him, then he'll be able to rely on the faithfulness of God. And then he says, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. What is he talking about? When trouble comes into all of our lives, we find out pretty quick where our heart is. Yeah? When a financial need just pops up in my life, I find out where my heart is. Do I look to the Lord or do I go, well, better go start begging on the streets? It's a simple example. David, in this raw moment, I think it's a beautiful moment, but David in this moment, he says, Lord, I need an undivided heart so that I always fear you more than anything else. You know? How did he stand in front of Goliath? Because he feared God more than he feared Goliath. Yeah? How was David able to lead the armies into battle and conquer and do all these things? Because he actually feared God more than he feared those people. David wanted an absolutely undivided heart. Can I just say to you, church, today, that God wants a courageous church. And too many of us, I fear, have undivided hearts. Or divided hearts. What do I mean? That you keep coming up to the same battle and you feel like you can't win. Maybe it's addiction. You just keep trying. Maybe you do good for a little while, but yet it just comes back and you just, in your heart, you're divided. You want to trust God. You want to follow God. You want to believe that God can do it, but in your heart, you maybe just a little bit go, maybe I can't. Maybe I can't. It's a divided heart. We have to be a people that are willing to come to the Lord and say, I want to be courageous so that when I face challenges, and just to be 100% clear, I wanted to point out how David, when he enters into moments, he's a real human being. He's just like you and me. So when he's first fleeing for his life and everything's collapsing around him, the Bible doesn't hide from us that he feels afraid. But in that fear, he found a way to look to God and say, it doesn't matter if 10,000 are against me, if God is for me. Right? He found a way to get there. When he's fleeing for his life from Saul and hiding in caves and he's terrified, yet he finds a way to come back to the place of saying, if God is with me, who can stand against me? This is who he was. He wasn't some courageous person because he was born that way. He was courageous because he had learned through trial that God would not fail him. We can also learn this. You can be courageous for God. I'm not talking about slaying Goliaths, people. I'm talking about having courage that says, God, whatever you ask of me today, I'll do it because I know you're with me. Some of you in this room, maybe the Lord is calling and birthing in you a ministry to go and love people and serve people and share the gospel with people, and you're afraid and you're intimidated. Your courage is never coming from you. But if you will find a way to get with the Lord and say, show me your way, that I can rely on your faithfulness, then you'll have courage to step out and do what you could never do on your own in the first place. Some of you are fighting through battles today in your marriages, in your families, in your finances. And I'm telling you that what you need to do is pray a prayer that says, Lord, teach me your way, because I'll make stupid decisions if I try to do it on my own. And I'll forget your promise. By the way, a little side note. David had a promise, and he learned that he could trust the promises of God, that God would be faithful to fulfill them. Amen. Can I tell you that we all have promises? How do I know if God's a promise keeper? I have to go into an environment and into a situation where God gets to keep his promise. That's the only way to know. Teach me your way, Lord. You know, Psalms 23 is a pretty famous psalm. And I like to think, I could be wrong about this. I don't think I am. That David prayed prayers like, Lord, teach me your way. And I like to think that when he was in that prison cell in Gath, afraid, not sure what his future was going to be, that the Lord honored that prayer. And I think he just started whispering to David, hey, I'm your shepherd. You lack nothing, David. I make you lie down in green pastures and I lead you beside quiet waters. I refresh your soul. I guide you along the right paths for my name's sake. And even when you walk through the darkest valleys, you will fear no evil, for I am with you, and my rod and my staff will comfort you. I'm preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I anoint your head with oil, and your cup overflows, and my goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in my house forever. Man, who couldn't be in that moment praying, Lord, teach me your way, and hearing God speak to you? Where did David get that from? How did David write such a beautiful thing? Because the Lord told him, this is who I am. You want to know my ways? Here's my way. I'm your good shepherd. Now, I like to imagine when David was in Ziklag and he comes back with his army, and they're devastated and they're weeping, but David made a decision that 600 other men didn't. He said, I'm going to go strengthen myself in the Lord. And I like to imagine that he's off by himself and the Lord comes again and says, hey, David, I'm your shepherd. I lead you beside quiet waters. I restore your soul. When you walk through the darkest, I'm with you. You don't have to fear. I don't know what you may be going through today. But he's the same God that he was yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he went through some stuff too. And the Apostle Paul, he would talk about how Jesus himself would show up next to him and give him strength. God's always looking to fulfill his promise to us. The question is, are we willing to put ourselves in the place where we say, Lord, I need you to teach me your way, because this doesn't feel good right now. Everything's falling apart. People are trying to kill me. This is a bad deal. Teach me your way so that I can rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I will fear your name. And I think that just like David learned to be courageous, you and I can learn to be courageous as well. I don't think it's something you're born with. I think it's something that you're formed into by spending time with the Lord. You go read David's Psalms, man, they're amazing. The fact that he just will be very blunt to the Lord in bringing his complaint to him. Lord, you promised me an eternal kingdom and everyone's trying to kill me. How's this going to work out? And yet there's these moments where he almost always flips it and he says, but I'm going to praise you. Because if I'm with you, what can mortals actually do to me? What can they do? I want to pray for some people today that might have a divided heart. And I don't say this to shame you. I don't say anything like that. I just really feel the Lord's put it on my heart that there are some people here today that they want to be courageous and trust God through the trial, but they're struggling too. How do we learn the ways of the Lord? One of them is by reading the stories of what has come before. If you go read David's writings, his Psalms, you're going to discover that David often reflects on what God had done for the chosen people in history. He'll reflect on things like the Exodus and all of this stuff and Abraham, Isaac. He reflects on all. He just is constantly calling to his memory what God has already done as a way of strengthening his faith. What? How? Because he's learning who God is. when God makes a covenant, look at how he faithfully showed up at every step of the way. Even when it looked like things were going wrong, somehow God made a way and he rescued his people. Like, David has learned that by history, but David also learned it, like Pastor Randy said last week, in the quiet place with the Lord. Those hidden places where nobody else saw, where he's out there writing these psalms and singing to the Lord. If you want to find courage, like David, it's that simple. It really is that simple. Say, Lord, open your word up to me. Just let me see it. Let me see how good you are. Let me see how faithful you are. And let me, Lord, get beyond the idea that if I'm with you, everything always goes right. If you think that or were told that, whoever said that never read the Bible. It almost always goes terrible. Almost always. But God will reveal himself to you through the scriptures, and he'll build that faith, saying, just look what I did for him. Look what I did for David. Look what I did for Joseph. Look what I did for Moses. Look what I did for Abraham. Look what I did for Elijah and Elisha. Look what I've done through Jesus. Look what I did through Jesus. And I love in the book of Acts, it says this, that or not Acts, I think it might be Colossians. It says that God has freed us from the fear of death. That's just a cool line, man. He's freed us from the fear of death. Like, yeah, man. What would it be like to live that way for Jesus? You know? Because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Would you guys stand to your feet? It's just for a moment here, invite the Holy Spirit into the room to just speak to us. God, I ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit to come and reveal to us, God, where we might have divided hearts. God, when we want to trust in you, we want to be courageous, we want to do the right things, we want to honor your name, we want to bring glory to your name through our lives and through our actions, our conduct, our integrity. God, we want to glorify you, but there's just situations in life that sometimes really challenge us to our core. There's sometimes circumstances that we face that just rattle us. And it's very human to be rattled. It's very human to feel moments of fear. But Father, today we pray that you give us an undivided heart that fears you above all else. God, an undivided heart that says, no matter what comes my way, I will not give up on what God is doing. Because you are that good shepherd. Today, some people are going to have to be just a little courageous to respond. And to come down and say, hey, I'm in a battle. My heart's divided, but I don't want it to be that way. I want to completely and utterly trust in what God is doing. I want to see him show up for me like he did for David. Father, I pray that you'd help them to take that step today, just as a sign of faith, just taking a step forward to lean into you, to pursue you just in a small way, Father. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The prayer team's going to come down here. If you got a situation going on in your life and you're like, I have a divided heart, I'm not confident right now, then I'm inviting you to come and let somebody join with you in prayer, and let's see God do a work in your life. And all of these people will be down here for you, okay?